had such great, and the fact that he loses his boot mm-hmm. at the beginning.
Yes.
And it was like boots that he had won in a, I think like what, a bull riding contest or something.
Yeah. Something.
Like
I think you wonder if he knew that's what he dropped because he didn't know what he dropped. Do you think he would have gone back for it?
Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode.
Convinced that his stepmother and half-brothers have been wrongfully evicted by the cattle king Eli Deering, Asher Ellis uses the cover of an extravagant ball to break into the Three Cedars Ranch house to search for proof. On the verge of discovery, he flees, but a boy's cry compels him to make a daring rescue. Spunky and independent Samantha Deering balks when she learns the ball her father is hosting is nothing more than a matrimonial ambush. Taking a break from unwanted suitors, Samantha spots a thief fleeing her home. When the stranger ends up saving her brother's life, she hides the only clue to his identity left behind, his boot, and resolves to find him herself. When Samantha encounters the older brother of the student she tutors, all thoughts of the bootless mystery man vanish. Asher values family above wealth, a rare trait that opens her heart. Afraid she will discover his past misconduct, Asher tries to keep his distance, but when a series of suspicious accidents befalls her, he vows to protect her, even though saving her life could mean losing her love.
Ooh. I love this one, by the way. This is If the Boot Fits, so it's based off the Cinderella fairy tale, and she flipped it. So it's the woman who comes from wealth in the area instead of the man. So she did a little bit of a flip on it. What'd you think of that flip?
I loved it.
I did.
It kept it fresh.
Yeah.
This one hooked me from the beginning. This one kept my attention, like, right away. I had to finish it.
I agree, because there's also this mystery that eventually comes out, which we won't share because it's a real twist.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
At the end. And I love how she related how that kind of played out to what we saw play out in the Bible with, well, man, I think if I tell you which Bible story, you might figure out what the twist is. So I won't say it. But there, when you read it, you'll definitely know, like, oh, wow, this really mirrors. Because I think she even pulls that in, doesn't she, a little bit? And talks about how it's a really great lesson on when we take things out of God's hands and put it in ours because we think we know better than him, which is ridiculous, but we all do it. And I can remember reading it thinking the same thing, and at one point I'm like, oh my word, Lord, I'm so sorry, because I know I'm gonna end up doing this again. It's just like human nature to go, he's not working on my timetable, so I'm just gonna take care of it, right, and it kind of messes everything up, but somehow he turns it all around for his good and his glory, which is awesome. So I agree with you, Tiff. Like, this one definitely had me hooked more, even more than
Fairest of Heart.
But I'm a Cinderella fan.
Me too. That's, I think.
I mean, I think I've watched every version of Cinderella ever made. love it. I don't know what it is about it. I don't know. Do you guys enjoy it?
I do, but I like Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Okay. That is my second runner up.
I mean, come on. She has a yellow dress. Oh, and she likes to read.
Yeah.
She's Jessica. Jessica's Belle.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. But I loved our hero in this and how he's just so family oriented and takes care of his, and he's the one with the stepmom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
But a wonderful stepmom. Did you like that twist?
I did. Mm-hmm.
I did.
Mm-hmm. He had a wonderful stepmom, and then he had two really nice stepbrothers instead of, half brothers.
Half brothers. And I love, what was his name? Fergus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he was the writer. Mm-hmm. And I love how it pulled elements of Cinderella with the mice.
I was just going to say that.
And his animals
the mice. Yep.
And his story and with his name, like his little nickname that he had. I won't say it, but.
Yeah. Well, his name's Fergus.
Well, yeah, but Gus Gus.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, that was the chubby mouse on.
Yeah,
the
cute little
mouse. Yeah. And then, like, he's, you know, Mrs. Merriweather, like the cow and all that, you know.
Yeah, the cow. Bringing them in. At first, when they were saying Mrs. Merriweather, I thought they were talking about, like, an old widow. Mm-hmm. It took me a minute to realize, oh, he's talking about the cow. yeah. She had such great. And the fact that he loses his boot at the beginning.
Yes.
And it was like boots that he had won. In a, I think, like, what, a bull riding contest or something?
Yeah. Something. I think you wonder if he knew that's what he dropped, because he didn't know what he dropped. Do you think he would have gone back for it? And not gone off and ran?
No, I think he was too scared to get caught.
Because he didn't know what he dropped. It was just like something fell, but he just kept going. But he was like, really? I mean, he couldn't wear the other boot anymore. That's for sure. So. And I like her, what's her name? The girl in
Samantha.
How she's like trying to find the owner of that boot in town.
Oh yeah.
And in the store, and how she's just like staring at all these men's boots, trying to see.
To figure it out.
Although I had to laugh, because if she had one of the boots, he's not gonna be wearing the other one.
I know.
But yeah. I mean, I guess she was looking at the size. How big is his foot?
It was great. It was really good. And I thought, I know we aren't getting to the ratings yet, but I thought that there was a lot of suspense in this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Especially towards the end, as everything's kind of, you know, shaken down. But
I also
love it.
Kind of felt bad for Samantha because, you know, her mom passed away, and then her dad, like, sent her away, and she always just thought her dad just didn't like her.
Yeah.
Because he got a son, and then she kind of, sorry, don't point at me. No. they kind of worked through it, which I'm glad, because she was just like, he doesn't want anything to do with me anymore, that's why he sent me away, but
I like it wasn't her true. Mature. Because it was like, at first she had that in her head, and then she finally steps back, like, you know, we need to talk about this. And she took that moment to see the other perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was just, it was nice to see her character develop in that way.
Yeah. Because she does kind of come off as like a spoiled brat at the beginning. And I like how her aunt helped her. Her aunt and uncle played a big role in there too. So you guys will really.
And the cook even, Mrs. Stewart. Like how she just kind of was that fill-in for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. But I do have to ask, what's your favorite version of the Cinderella story? There's so many out there.
I'll tell you what. I did not like the live version.
I haven't seen that.
What? Of the Disney? That's one of my favorites.
The first live version of any of the Disney remakes was Beauty and the Beast. And I loved it. Then I watched Cinderella and I thought, this is terrible. I do not like it. I like the original Cinderella.
See, I haven't seen the new one. I don't think I've seen it. I like the old live version, and I can't think of her name.
There was one in the 60s.
Yeah, it's like where she sings In My Own Little Corner.
Yes, but there was also one, I think, in the 90s, the Roger and Hammerstein, like a remake maybe?
That might have been the one.
And it had like Whoopi Goldberg and Brandy was Cinderella. And
yes, I remember that.
It was just like a hodgepodge one. But I actually enjoyed that one too, because it was just so kind of, I don't know, out there.
I liked the original cartoon. Is my favorite of Cinderella.
I love the new one because I think the
The live version?
The live version. Because I think the guy who played the prince and then the girl who played the Cinderella are just absolutely adorable together. I love it. And I love how his captain or something? The guy that's big black guy that's like his...
I haven't seen the new one.
Right-hand man. I don't know. I can't remember the character name or anything in that. But I loved him, too, because... You know the scene where he comes up on her, like they're hunting and he comes up on her on the horse and they're just circling each other and talking. And then the guy that's always with him rides up and he starts to call him like the prince, you know, it's time to continue our hunt or whatever. And he's like, it's Kit. Because he doesn't want her to know that he's the prince.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. He's just there. I thought there was just some, he just played it really well. In my opinion. And I thought they did a wonderful job dancing. Of course, I'm a big thing of like, I want to dance like that too. But I want her dress. I want her dress. I remember when I went wedding dress shopping, I told Mom, I'm like, I just want to be like Cinderella for the day.
Aww.
I just want to be Cinderella for the day. And so Mom was going to buy me the gloves and everything.
Oh my gosh.
And I go, Mom, I don't think I want the gloves because, excuse me, I'm hitting my mic. I said, because then you have to deal with taking them off when you exchange rings and then you gotta put them back on. I'm like,
yeah.
And then she goes, well, and I brought, mine was like a strapless dress is what I ended up going with.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, well, but Cinderella didn't have a strapless dress. Do you want the lace that comes down? And
mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, in the live version, her wedding dress is gorgeous. I mm-hmm. want that dress too. I'm like, I'll marry you again, Derek. Just put me in that dress. I don't know. I probably just as a kid I've always had an obsession with
pretty dresses. Yeah.
You know.
We can tell.
You know, your Prince Charming comes and sweeps you off your feet.
Have you found him yet?
No. I've been married to him for 20 years now.
Ugh.
Okay. I know, she hates it when I'm all lovey-dovey.
It's my brother-in-law's. What was that saying you gave when...
I called him my love. I said, thanks, my love.
Tiffany are like, ew, gross.
Anyways, okay. What would you give the romance level in this book?
Mocha.
Yeah,
I'd go mocha. I think Cinderella, yeah. I think it lends itself a little more, the fairy tale itself, to a little more romance. What about the suspense level?
I feel like a latte.
Mocha to a latte.
Because you didn't really know until the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was...
And there's some pretty intense events, which, by the way, thanks for giving me a heads up on the snake scene.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yes, because she's,
I don't do snakes.
She doesn't. And I gave her a warning, like, when it comes to this, you just need to flip until you're, yeah, because.
At first, I forgot, because it had been a while after you had told me that, when I got to that scene, and I was going along, and I'm like, oh, a masked man riding up to what? And then I was like, the bag flew, the bag came.
Yeah.
And I went, skip. I cannot read about a snake crawling on you. That's horrible.
Yes.
That is literally my nightmares. I have nightmares. I wake up sweating from snakes being on me.
I don't like them.
Oh, good. I'm not alone. No. Tiff is with me.
Grandma's the same way, too.
No.
You know,
they're just nasty, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to count them in the wild. But like Black Pine, I went during one of their Halloween, and I will pet a snake. I love to pet them. If somebody's holding them, Jessica, I will pet them.
It's that controlled environment.
Yeah, it's a controlled environment. But to be like...
Did you wear a glove?
No.
No.
I mean, you know, and you learn about them.
Let's talk about something else.
When you pet them and that. In a controlled environment, I don't mind petting them. But like, don't come up to me in the wild.
Yeah.
No, I can't even do that. Do you remember
at like, the zoo? I skipped through that section.
Yeah. When we were in elementary school, and they put us all in the music room, And the guy came in and he was talking about different animals, and he had a cooler, and he goes, and I brought lemonade for everybody. And it was actually a snake he pulled out. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The snake named Lemonade?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's where it all began.
Jessica likes lemonade. She has lemonade.
Oh, you are such a snake person. Anyways, I do remember he forced everyone to touch it.
I don't remember that.
Okay, I remember because he yelled at me, and I was like a good girl. Like, I never got in trouble. Yeah. But, like, he literally dangled the snake in front of us. Like, he was behind us.
Who was
this?
And he went,
like, down the row.
And made us touch it.
I don't know. Some guy they brought into the school. And
I don't know that I would have touched it.
Like, hanging in front of me. And I went, no. I was like, I get it out of my face. Like, I didn't even want it near me. He's like, just touch the snake right now. It is not going to hurt you. And I was like, he forced me to touch the snake.
Oh, no.
And I was like,
maybe that happened to you. And then I just went, ooh, because I don't remember. Maybe I blocked it out.
You probably blocked it out. But yeah. I was like, you don't understand. Like,
no. Now, one thing I hate.
My nightmare.
And won't ever is spiders.
Yeah.
I won't touch a spider. I don't care if you're holding it or not. Spiders is a big no-no. Like,
you know, I won't give names, but I did find out last week that even big bad firefighters are afraid of spiders.
Oh.
There was a spider in the station, and I had to kill it. And I was like, really? I don't like
I can
them
throw
either.
A shoe at him.
You can fight fires, but you can't kill a spider.
I can't kill him.
You just get a torch, and you torch it.
I know, right? Yeah. There's so many ways. Get a broom. You're 5 feet away, but nope.
I can kill him now. There used to be a point I couldn't kill him, but now I'm like, you're bigger. You're braver. Throw the shoe. Nope. Throw the shoe.
Nope. I can handle spiders any day. I cannot handle snakes.
Unless they go, do-do-do-do. And then I can't. And I'm like,
Yeah. So there's a lot of suspense in this book. Anytime you put a snake in the book, though, I'm going to tell you it's suspenseful because I'm going, oh. Yeah. What about?
Oh, I forgot to warn you about that in our next series. Did you freak out in that one, in the last one?
I had already read that series.
Okay. Okay.
Because I just know.
I was like, oh, there was some snakes in our other series, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you picked them good, Melissa.
We'll talk about that one in a few weeks. Everybody stop putting snakes in your books.
Yeah. I did have one note on this book that I just found. But the one thing I love the most about this book was her argument. She was, it doesn't matter who it is. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. Was kind of the.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I just, that just hit hard. Because so many times in this life, in this world, people you encounter, it's like, oh, I know that's wrong. But it's like, no, there is no but. Mm-hmm. Right is right. Wrong is wrong.
Black and white.
Like, yep, it's in God's eyes. Like, you can't pick and choose who you're going to. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we'll all be shocked when we have to face him one day.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you can't, like, argue your way out.
No. Just pray a lot. God, help me see.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So we can go into then, what do you think the inspiration level was for this one?
Espresso, mocha, maybe.
Yeah,
I'd agree with that.
I was thinking that too.
Yeah,
because they both had a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it got stronger towards the end.
Yeah,
it started off pretty espresso.
Mm-hmm. What about the drama level?
A latte.
Yeah.
Yeah, latte.
A lot of drama, but it is a Cinderella story, so there's always drama in Cinderella, right?
Yeah. Yes. There was so much at the end that just, you don't get hooked by this one right away. Keep reading, because you're going to be amazed at the end.
Yeah. What about the mystery level?
Mocha?
Mocha.
Mocha to a latte.
I'd say mocha to latte. Because there's that one, and I don't want to say it's like,
until the end. I didn't really know.
Yeah. You're right. It's right at the end, isn't it?
Oh, it just now hit me. Yep. Now, it's been such a long time since I read it. Now I realize what you're talking about.
It was the lemonade.
Took me a minute to get there. So I'm like, what are you guys talking about? Then I'm like, oh, yeah.
All right, what is your overall lasso rating of the boot fits?
I'm going to go three lassos.
Three lassos.
Three.
I'd give it 3-2. That one definitely had me hooked and hogtied from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also a sucker for Cinderella stories. So. All right, and there are actually two more books in Karen Whitmire's fairy tale series, and we're going to talk about Cloaked in Beauty. She also has To Love a Beast, but we're not going to get to that one because it came out after we were done.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider sharing our podcast. Every share helps us reach more readers and authors like you. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.